الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، so in continuation from last lesson, as relates to the aqeed of these two imams, these illustrious imams, Abi Hatim al-Razi and Abu Zura al-Razi. We reached the sixth point, which is a very important point, and that is the statement from the two imams, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ عَلَى عَرْشِهِ بَائِنٌ مِّنْ خَلْقِهِ كَمَا وَصَفَ نَفْسَهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ وَعَلَى لِسَانِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِلَا كَيْفٍ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. We said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above His arsh, Allah is above His throne, free from His creations, distance from His creations, like He described Himself in His book, the Quran, and upon the tongue of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And His knowledge encompasses everything. Without asking how, and His knowledge encompasses everything, none is comparable to Him, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ash-Shura, verse number 11, none is comparable to Him, and He is all hearing and all seeing. What did we study as it relates to this point in the last lesson? Because this is a continuation, and it's important that we understand the first part of this lesson so we can continue, inshallah. We started with the proof that Allah, the ulu of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is above His throne more specifically. And we mentioned that Allah mentioned in the Quran that He rose above His throne, istawa ala arshihi. He mentioned that in his Quran how many times? Seven. Sab'a muwadi in the Quran, seven places in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that He rose above His throne, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we mentioned only one of those verses. We also mentioned some principles of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah as it relates to the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What were those principles? Shams. Okay, now, where Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, and before him Khatib al-Baghdadi, and this is from the ulama of the Salaf, they mentioned that al-qawlu fi sifat ka-qawlu fi al-dhat. And that is what you say about Allah's attributes, or what you've said about Allah's essence, say that about His attributes. And some of the deviant groups, they negate Allah's attributes in totality. They say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not rise, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hear, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have knowledge, and so forth. They negate these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, claiming that these attributes are similar to the attributes of the creation. And we mentioned that principle where we said from Shaykh al-Islam that what you say for the essence of Allah, you say for his attributes. A, you accept that Allah lives. You accept that Allah lives. Do the creation live? The creation also live. But the life of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect and complete and is different from that of the creation. So like you affirmed life, affirm the rest of the attributes. Like you affirmed life, which is from his that, which is from the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, affirm the attributes. Affirm the attributes. And this is a refutation against who? This principle is a refutation against who? Ya Ahibba. Mainly it's a refutation against the Jahmiyyah. Mainly it's a refutation against the Mu'attala, Al-Ghulat, the Ghulat Mu'attala, the extreme negators, who are the Jahmiyyah. From Jahm ibn Safwan. And before him, Ja'ad ibn Darham. And Jahm ibn Safwan was a student of Ja'ad ibn Darham. And Ja'ad ibn Darham was the one who initially started this belief. This Jahmi belief. But his student, Jahm ibn Safwan, is the one who made it popular. So therefore, the group has been called Jahmiyyah because of that. Because he's the one that nasharahu. He's the one that spread this belief, this false and disbelieving belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that principle there is a refutation against the Jahmiyyah. The second principle we mentioned, can you remember that one? Al-qawlu fi sifat ka-qawlu fi ba'din akhar. Al-qawlu fi sifat ka-qawlu fi ba'din akhar. Ikhwan, it's important to know these principles. It's very simple, naam, but it refutes these people, yani with suhula, easily. And that is, what you say about some of the attributes, say about the rest. What you say about some of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say about the rest. Why are you differing? Why are you making a difference between them? And this is a refutation against who, specifically? The Ash'aris. This is the refutation against the Ash'ariyya. And why is it a refutation against the Ash'ariyya? Because the Ash'aris, they affirm some attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Qad, Al-Haya, living, Qudra, ability, Khalq, and what else? Ilm as well. But why do they affirm these attributes? They say, how can the one who created the heavens and earth not have Qudra? So they're using their intellect as opposed to using the Nusus, as opposed to using the text from Quran or Sunnah, and which is why the Imams mentioned that they believe in Allah, that Allah is above his throne, free from his creation, like Allah attributed himself in his book and upon the tongue of the Mustafa, A, from the Kitab and Sunnah. So the Ash'aris, they negate that. And we say to them, like you affirmed ability, like how Allah has ability, affirm the rest of the attributes. Affirm the rest of the attributes. Because there's contradictions. Sahih Allah. There's contradictions. لو كان من غير عند الله لوجد فيه إيش اختلافا كثيرا. If it was from Allah, you see a lot of contradictions, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. So this isn't from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, we mentioned also that we have two types of sifat, or regards to the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have sifat ish al-dhatiyya and sifat al-fi'liyya. Sifat al-dhatiyya are those things like what? Not connecting with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not connected with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like knowledge. Allah knows all the time. Okay? And seeing. Allah sees all the time. And ability. Allah has continuous ability. Perfect, complete ability. It doesn't stop. But the sifat fi'liya, which is those pertaining to Allah's will. So Allah speaks to whoever he wants to. Speaks to and when he wants to speak to them. Okay? Allah rises above the throne when he wants. So this is sifatish fi'liya. Sifat al-fi'liya. So therefore, the people of the sunnah, we believe in both. We believe in both. Fi'liya and dhatiyya. We believe in fi'liya and dhatiyya. The people, the Ash'aris, they don't. They believe in some of the what? Some of the Dhatiyya, but they don't believe in the Fi'liyya. Okay, am I confusing anyone here? Fi'liyya is those attributes pertaining to actions that Allah does when He wants and when and to who He wants and so forth. Okay? And as for the Dhatiyya, it's the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like life. Like what? Life. It's not connected to when Allah wants or when He doesn't want. Okay? Now, the Ash'aris, they affirm some of the Dhatiyya, but they negate all of the Fi'liyya. They negate all of the Fi'liyya, those pertaining to actions. Which is why you know an Ash'ari because he negates what? Fi'liyya. You know he's Ash'ari because he negates Fi'liyya. And you know a Jahmi because he negates all. And the Mu'tazila, they affirm Allah's names and they negate Allah's attributes. But the people of the Sunnah, Ummatu Wasata, the people of Sunnah who's balanced, the people of, like Abu Bakr ibn Iyash said, that the people of the Sunnah are to the other groups like Islam is to the other religions. The people of the Sunnah, Abu Bakr ibn Iyash, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the Salaf, he said that the people of the Sunnah are to the other groups like Islam is to other religions. Balanced. Balanced. So we affirm that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirmed for Himself and upon in His book and upon the tongue of His messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we mentioned the first verse as proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rising above His throne. And we mentioned some misconceptions of the people of Bid'ah as it relates to the Istawa and the explanation of Istawa. Istawa means what? Rising. So what did they explain Istawa as? Istawla. They described it as what? Istawla, which is what? Conquer. They said that Allah conquered the throne. Yes, subhanAllah. Okay. Now, what type of deviance is this? Is it tahrif al-ma'nawi or tahrif al-lafzi? Is it the distortion of the text or distortion of the meaning? Distortion of the meaning. Not like what I said last week. I made an error. I said it was distortion of the text. And then when I finished the lesson, I thought, subhanAllah. It was distortion of what meaning now? No, they said the meaning is istawla. They said the what? The meaning is istawla. As for the distortion of the text, that's kallam Allahu Musa taklima, where Allah spoke to Musa a word. We mentioned that on Monday, which is the proof that Allah speaks. It's from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when shown the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. But they negate that, so they said, you know, if we say kallam Allahu Who Musa taklima, if we say Allah spoke to Musa and we put Dhamma, kalam Allahu, Dhamma on Allah's name, that means that Allah is the one that is speaking. But if we put Fatha, then it means that Allah is the one that's spoken to. This is tahrif al-lafzi. They've messed around with the text. So they say kalam Allaha Musa taklima. So they said Musa is the one who's spoken, Allah is the one who's spoken to, yes, subhanAllah. In order to establish the bid'ah and the innovations and the deviance, they'll change the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us from such evil. Okay, now we also... Fadla, Shaykh.
Sorry, what did you say the meaning of
Istawa? Istawa means he rose above his throne. Ar-Rahman al-Arsh Istawa, the most merciful, rose above his throne. They say Istawa, meaning conquered. Yeah, and we said that it doesn't make sense anyway. Because we have Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh. Yani ala is a preposition in Arabic which means above, correct? So conquer is not in the same, cannot be used with ala. Okay? And they use the poem, a line of poetry. Do you remember that line of poetry, Ikhwan? This is one of them, the proofs that they use. Qad istawa bishir ala iraqi bighayri sayfin wala damin mihraqi. They use a line of poetry where they say that Bishr, he conquered Iraq, Istawa. So they tried to play around and say that Bishr conquered Iraq without what? Without any swords or any bloodshed. And we said, what did you say about this poem? Is it correct? What's the problem with this poem? There's no chain of narration. There's no isnad. So we don't know who said it. Anybody could have said it. We don't know who said it. And if we have to establish the isnad and the chains of narration for the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what about everyone else? And this is from Sheikh Al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And maybe when this Arab or whoever wrote this, this poetry, said this at the time when the Arabic language amongst the people became weak. Because the knowledge of the Arabic language amongst the people has become weaker. Has become weaker. Which is why the people say about the arguments of we don't have usul of fiqh, we don't have the principles of usul of fiqh, the principle of mustalah al-hadith, the principle of ulum al-tafsir and stuff like that. Why is it that this wasn't done in the Sahaba? Because the Sahaba understood it straight away. Because of the understanding of the Arabic language. But because of the weakness of the language as opposed to the after the Sahaba, the ulama devised these principles from the Quran and the Sunnah in order to assist the understanding of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Okay, Jameel. We go on to the next place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions al-istawa, and that is in Surah Yunus. And that's in Surah Yunus, verse number 3, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Just like the other verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily your Lord is the one who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and rose above his throne. This verse proves that Allah rises above his throne. Why? Because it's from the Quran. And we don't do any tahrif. We don't distort it. We don't do any tahrif and ma'nawi. We don't distort the meaning. We don't distort the text. We don't do any negating, ta'til. And we don't ask how. The third verse which is mentioned here is in the Quran is Surah Ra'ad, verse number 2. Surah Ra'ad, verse number 2, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu alladhi rafa'a samawati bighayri amadin tarawnaha thumma istawa 'ala al-'arsh. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ra'ad that Allah, the one who raised the heavens without any pillar that you see. And then he rose above the throne. Again, establishing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rises above his throne. The next proof is in Surah Taha, which is the fourth one, which is in Surah Taha, verse number 5, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. The Most Merciful rose above his throne. The Most Merciful rose above his throne. We're going to stop on this verse for a couple of minutes, inshallah, and take some benefits from this verse. The first benefit we can take from this verse in Surah Taha, verse number 5, is that it's a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rises above his throne. This is the proof of the ulu of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rises above his throne. Second benefit that we can take from this verse is al-hasr, al-ikhtisas, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he said, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, that the Most Merciful rose above his throne. Do you remember when we mentioned in Surah Al-Fatiha, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in? What do we understand from that? Does it mean that we just worship Allah alone?
No, Allah instructed you to worship Him alone.
No.
Iyaka na'budu. We didn't say na'budu iyaka.
No, we didn't say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said na'budu iyaka, because the verb usually comes first and then the maf'ul, or the one that the action has been done on, comes afterwards. Yeah? So for example, we say in Arabic language, I'm going to use something quite violent, but labas, daraba Muhammad, daraba Zaydun Amr. Daraba is a verb which means he hit. So Zayd hits Amr. So usually the verb comes first and then the verb, the doer, and then the one that the action has been done upon. This is the normal sentence that you find in the Arabic language in the Jumla to Fi'liya. In the Jumla al-Fi'liya, which is a verbal sentence. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows how amazing the Quran is, subhanAllah. To show the emphasis of that action, it's reversed. So anytime you find the action reversed, are you meaning that the one that the action has, either the doer comes first, or the one that action has been done to comes first, it shows the emphasis of that action. It shows the emphasis of the action, or it shows the limitation of the action, which means it's only for that thing. So when we say, Iyaka na'budu, where we say, Iyaka, O you, Allah, which is the one that action has been done to, na'budu, we worship, instead of we worship you, Allah, we say you, we worship. So you is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is who the worship is, has been done to. And worship is the verb. So it comes what? It means only you we worship with pure tawheed and no one else. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. So where's the verb? First or last? Last. It means that Allah only rose above the throne. It means that Allah only rose above the throne and that's it. And that's it. And that's called Ifadat al-Hasr. Ifadatu al-Hasr. That's another point of benefit on that, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, and Ibn Qayyim, the third benefit we can take from this verse, Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his explanation of Surah Fatiha, as he's explaining Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and he explains ar-Rahman, the most merciful, the most what? Merciful, ar-Rahman. He explained it and he said that the ar-Rahman, again we're going into linguistics here, that Rahman comes into in a form fa'lan. Rahman fa'lan. Okay? Rahman ala wazn fa'lan. Yani Rahman is on the form of the pattern fa'lan. And anything that's in the form of the pattern fa'lan, it means in abundance. It means in what? In abundance. There's a lot of it. So atshan, is that on the same wazn? Fa'lan atshan, is that the same? If I say fa'lan and atshan, that's the same, yes? So right now we're fasting. So fa'lan, atshan is in the wasn't the same form as fa'lan. It's getting complex here, right? But atshan means you're very, very, very thirsty because it's on that form. Ta'ban. Ta'ban means what? You're tired. So when you say ta'ban, does it mean you're tired or you're very tired? It means that you're what? Very tired. So ar-Rahman. Abundance in mercy. Ar-Rahman means Allah has abundance of mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is why that nobody can be called Rahman. That name is Mukhtas Billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there's abundance in mercy and Allah is the one and only who has abundance in mercy. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said that the arsh encompasses the heavens and the earth. And it's befitting that Allah uses his sifat al-Rahma here. Because of the arsh, the magnitude of the arsh is large. So it's from the hikmah and it's befitting that Allah use the abundance, the attribute which has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in abundance. And what that is his ar-Rahman. So that's the benefit there that Ibn Qayyim mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala. So Allah uses everything, as Sheikh Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, anything that Allah does in the Quran, which is different from Allah uses a name specifically with something else, there's a reason. There's a what? Reason, there's a hikmah behind it. And here it shows that Allah used the most encompassing sifat and attribute of his subhanahu wa ta'ala to describe his most encompassing creation. And that is the arsh. And that is the arsh. The fifth place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions he rose above his throne is in Surah Al-Furqan. It's in Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 59. Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 59. Thumma istawa ala al-arsh ar-Rahman. Thumma istawa ala al-arsh ar-Rahman. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and then he rose above his throne, the most merciful. And then he rose above his throne, the most merciful. The sixth place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions him rising above the throne is Surah Sajda, verse number 4. Surah Sajda, verse number 4, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وما بينهما في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah the one who created the heavens and the earth and that which is between them, in 6 days, and then rose above the throne. So this one, in this verse, in Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala included, and that which is between them, and that which is between the heavens and the earth. And the ulama of tafsir have explained that which is between the heavens and the earth are the moon, the stars, and the clouds, and so forth. The moon, the stars, and the clouds. Another the final place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says explicitly that he rises above his throne is in Surah Al-Hadid, verse number 4, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ, that he's the one who created the heavens and earth in 6 days and rose above his throne. So these proofs here, these 7 verses in the Quran, Allah clearly shows that he rises above his throne. Okay, before I continue, can I ask a few questions? What are the benefits from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arshi istawa, that the most merciful rose above the throne? What do you get from this verse? That Allah only rose above the throne. Why is it that Allah only rose? How do we know that Allah only rose above the throne? Because what was mentioned at the end? The verb was mentioned at the end, and usually the verb is mentioned before. Naam. Ahsant. Naam. Rahman is in the form of fa'lan, which shows what? Abundance of something. So ar-Rahman means what? Abundance in mercy. So what did Ibn Qayyim say, rahimahullah ta'ala? Only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, that's the natija, that's the result. Now, what did Ibn Qayyim say? The name Rahman is on the words of Fa'lan, which means abundance and mercy, so it's befitting. Allah used the most abundant attribute of His to the abundant creation. It's from the hikmah of the Quran. Okay, now what we're going to go to now, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to go to in the regards to more specific. Oh, Father Sheikh. Lala. Settled on the throne. Some of the ulama have mentioned that, but the word istawa, the words in sawa and so forth, it has different meanings. But the root, when you say istawa ala al-arsh, because you have ala, yeah, it's above. It's above. That's correct. A rafa. That's the most precise explanation for that. Okay. But yeah. Is used in different ways depending on the preposition that comes with it. It's used in different ways depending on the preposition. Allah. And Allah is above. So that's what is the best opinion now. Okay, so what we're going to do now, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to deal with al-ulu. We're going to deal with the ulu of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mentioned firstly that istawa was a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, Sheikh Rabi mentions in his explanation of this risala, used and showed many different ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proves that He's above His throne. And also Sheikh Muthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala does the same. They both say the same thing, but I'm just using the tartib that Sheikh Muthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala used. And Sheikh Muthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he started off by saying, وَإِلَّمْ أَنَّ أُلُوَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَنْقَسِمُ لَقِسْمَيْنِ. He said, know that the ulu of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being above, or the ulu of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of two types. It's of two types. Ma'nawi, ulu ma'nawi and ulu adhati. Ulu ma'nawi and ulu adhati. As for ulu ma'nawi, yani the ulu ma'nawi, you can say literal. Dhati means literal, and ma'nawi means not figurative. I don't like to use that, but that is literally essence, intangible. I try and say the meaning of it, just to be safe, because I don't want to go into philosophy. And ilm al kalam, ulu dhati is literal, the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the ma'na, we would say the meaning of highness, the meaning of highness. It's better. Yani. As for the meaning of highness, and this is Shaykh Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala, Ulum al-Ma'nawi, he said that this is an ijma' upon Ahl al-Qibla, upon the whole of them, all of the Muslims. All of the Muslims, they believe this. And that is that every single Muslim believes that Allah is the highest. If you say, who's the highest? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning-wise. They'll say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the highest, meaning-wise, ma'nawi, intangible, blah, blah, blah. Allah is the highest, meaning-wise. This is something that is the consensus amongst the people of the Qibla, people of the Sunnah, and people of the of Ahl al-Bidah, people of innovation. Amma ulu al-dhati, and that is Allah being above in his essence, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is only established and affirmed by the people of the Sunnah. This is affirmed by the people of the Sunnah, and the people of innovation, they do not affirm this. They do not affirm this. So because of that, we're going to go into proofs to affirm that Allah in his essence is above. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his essence is above. We're going to use proof from the Quran, inshallah, and proof from the Sunnah. And proof from the Sunnah. And we said the Sunnah, what was the definition of Sunnah? Huh? What was the definition of Sunnah, Ahibba? What's the definition of Sunnah? Ma ruya Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam inish. That is narrated from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his what? Statements, actions, and taqririya, acknowledgement. So we're going to look at the proofs as it relates to Allah being above in his essence through the book of Allah, the proof from the Quran, the proof from the Sunnah, a qawliya, from his statements, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fi'liya, from his actions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and taqririya, from his acknowledgement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll start that next lesson, I think, because it's time to pray. We'll start that next lesson. If you can think of these proofs, inshallah, bring it, come, inshallah. There's something I wanted to, I forgot. Those who were here yesterday's lesson, I made a mistake. Abdullah ibn Abbas, we said that how many hadith did he narrate? It was 1,000. When I said it in Arabic, I said 1,000, sir. And then I said in English, 2,000, then I got confused. It's 1,600. No, I said it in English, 2,000 initially, but it's 1,660, okay? So the Abdullah ibn Abbas narrated 1,660 hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. So that was a mistake by me yesterday. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi Muhammad wa alaihi sahbihi jamein. Alhamdulillah bil alamin.